Hey there, wonderful parents. It's Kathy here, your self-esteem booster and host on the Tips for Parenting Youngsters podcast, your go-to for parenting tips. I'm on a mission to help you reach your full potential and create a nurturing and safe family environment. I am not here to beat you up for your past parenting mistakes, but instead to focus on three critical pillars that I learned from being a parent and grandparent that turned myself and my family life around. My three pillars are assertive communication, conflict resolution, and those all-important healthy boundaries, all leading to raising self-esteem in your children and yourself. So let's get started. You hear your baby cooing as it drifts off to sleep. What do you feel? And how do you react? Are you happy, content, or in love? Do you snuggle your baby even closer? Now you hear your baby crying in the middle of the night. What are you feeling now? And how do you react? We experience many feelings towards the same person depending on the experience. Today's topic is about emotional intelligence, what it is, and how to develop it within ourselves to help our children learn to manage their feelings more appropriately. So grab your favorite beverage, find a comfy spot, and let's get into today's topic of emotional intelligence. This is Tips for Parenting Youngsters, where every episode brings you closer to building self-esteem and stronger, more meaningful relationships with your children. Emotional intelligence is recognizing your emotions and emotions in others, such as happiness, sadness, anger, or excitement. It is also knowing how to manage your feelings respectfully. Here's an example about managing our feelings. Let's say your child accidentally spills juice on your white living room carpet. Our initial reaction as parents is to yell and scream at our child out of frustration and anger. Instead of using emotional intelligence, which is a better way to handle the situation? Let me explain. Our emotions have the upper hand because we are hardwired that way. We react instead of respond, whether positively or negatively. To explain it further, our minds need to process everything we experience in a day to help us perceive and understand the world around us. Our perceptions or impressions of these experiences enter at the base of our brain, the spinal cord. Everything that we see, smell, taste, touch, or hear travels from the spinal cord through our limbic system to our cerebral cortex, which is at the front of the brain. When our perceptions or impressions pass through our limbic system, that is when we experience our emotions or feelings towards the event, before we have a chance to think rationally. So to be emotionally intelligent, we need to communicate between our limbic system, our emotions, and our cerebral cortex, which is the rational thinking part of our brain. For the example above, you see juice on your white carpet, which is your perception or impression of the event. Your senses enter your spinal cord. Then it travels to the limbic system, your emotions, causing you to feel anger and frustration before it reaches your cerebral cortex. When you calmly ask what happened and work out a solution to keep you both with good self-esteem. You for not yelling and feeling ashamed of being out of control, and your child for not being the brunt of the yelling when it was an accident. To help you better understand emotional intelligence, here are three key competencies. 1. Self-awareness. 2. How to manage your emotions. And 3. Be empathetic. Self-aware people can identify and acknowledge their emotions and how they affect their behavior. To become more self-aware, pay attention to your feelings. Take time to notice how you feel throughout the day. Are you happy? Or frustrated? Excited? Understanding your emotions is the first step to becoming more self-aware. Also, don't judge your feelings as positive or negative, because doing so prevents you from understanding your feelings. Judging your feelings compounds the emotion you are already feeling and stops the original feeling from running its course. I learned there are 5 core feelings and variations of those 5. The 5 core emotions are happiness, sadness, anger, fear, and shame. Throughout our day, we experience all kinds of emotions without even noticing them. That is because of their intensity. Here is what I mean. A low intensity of happiness is contentment. A medium intensity is gratitude. And a high intensity is elation. Or how about shame? A low intensity, you're feeling bashful. A medium intensity, you feel guilt. And a high intensity, you feel worthlessness. Once we learn more about our emotions, we can empathize better with our children and help them understand their feelings for better communication. Another way to understand your emotions is to reflect on your actions. Once you have identified your feelings, take a few minutes at the end of the day to consider why you did certain things. Did you choose because it felt right? Or were you trying to please someone else? Thinking about your actions can help you understand your beliefs and values. A great way to do this is by journaling. Getting your thoughts down on paper helps to release negative emotions and boost your self-esteem. Another way to be self-aware is to know your core values and beliefs. When I was living at home with my parents and siblings, we never talked about core values and beliefs. I know my parents had them because children emulate what they learn at home without even knowing. Our children watch us like hawks, picking up the values and beliefs we inherited from our parents, unless we change them with our children. These inherited values and beliefs are how patterns of behavior become generational. Now is the time to change unwanted patterns of behavior by talking with your children about values and beliefs. As a family, write these down and post them in an area for everyone to see. When our lives get so hectic, having these values visible is an excellent reminder of what we believe in to respond rather than react to keep everyone's self-esteem intact. Next week's episode dives more into the topic of values. Now here are 7 ways to manage your emotional responses. Breathe. In every article you read, the first thing to do is pause and take a breath. However, we never take time to do this because we are uncomfortable with the silence. However, taking that breath calms us down and allows the process to go from our spinal cord to the cerebral cortex, the rational part of our brain, that will enable us to respond and not react. Every time you practice breathing and being in the moment, it gets easier and easier. The second is to create an emotion versus reason list. I like this idea because it keeps our emotions involved with a rational point of view. Here is what you do. Make 2 columns on a sheet of paper by drawing a line down the middle of the page. On the left-hand side of the page, write down what your emotions or heart is telling you to do. On the right-hand side of the page, write down what your mind tells you to do. Now here are 2 critical questions to ask yourself. Where are my emotions clouding my judgment? And where are the rational thoughts ignoring your feelings? We need to respond by using both our hearts and our minds. A third way to manage your emotions is self-talk. I am forever talking to myself through challenging situations I experience with family, work, and life. Talking to myself helps to calm me down and understand the situation better. I must admit, I need to work on this because I reacted when I watched my 2 grandsons play in 2 different games the other day for their championship win, and the reffing was one-sided. We lost both games. At least I knew I was reacting and didn't yell derogatory comments. After the game, I was able to get rid of my angst by yelling in my car. That helped a lot. A fourth way is rest is best. What more can I say? Getting a good night's sleep is imperative. To make better decisions, keep rested. I explained in my episode on self-discipline that our ability to make good decisions decreases throughout the day as we become more tired. That's why you react to your children instead of responding at the end of the day. Create an excellent evening routine to get the rest you need. A fifth way is learn a valuable lesson. Our emotions teaches valuable lessons to help us grow. For example, anger is there to protect you. When you are angry, that is letting you know that you are being disrespected, neglected, and abused in some way. It can motivate you to address issues, set boundaries, and assert yourself. Frustration arises when we encounter obstacles or challenges that impede our progress. Frustration teaches us patience, resilience, and adaptability, encouraging us to find alternative solutions, seek support, or revise our approach. Frustration reminds us that setbacks are opportunities for learning and growth. I notice that I am far more impatient when I am overly tired. Taking a 5 to 10 minute break helps. Happiness teaches us what brings us joy and fulfillment. It encourages us to pursue activities, relationships, and goals that enhance our well-being. It also reminds us to appreciate the positive aspects of life and cultivate gratitude. Every day, I spend a few minutes in gratitude for my life and myself. We are all unique and need to spend more time loving ourselves than beating ourselves up for everything we are not. Self-care is important. I will talk more about this topic in an upcoming episode. Self-care is vital for us to be positive parents. What does self-care involve? Take time out for yourself. Schedule even 10 minutes to get out the door. Enjoy the fresh air and move your body, which helps you manage your feelings. Speak to someone. This is so important. I have spoken to various counselors to help me manage my feelings, especially with anxiety and depression. They have also been great in helping me identify my feelings and triggers. My mother did not have control over her emotions, leading to a chaotic family environment. I learned this behavior of reacting and then acting this way with my children until I realized the damage I was causing to their self-esteem. I knew the only person I could change was myself. Once I changed, I knew my children would change also, because like I keep saying, we are their role models. And the third key competency is empathy for others. In parenting, cultivating empathy is crucial for fostering healthy relationships and nurturing emotional intelligence in children. It involves recognizing and validating your children's emotions and actively listening and understanding their perspectives. By empathizing with your children's feelings, you create a safe and supportive environment where they feel heard and understood. Being empathetic deepens the parent-child bond and encourages open communication. Through empathy, you can teach your children valuable social and emotional skills, such as compassion, kindness, and tolerance. By modeling empathetic behavior, you instill in your children the importance of empathy in building solid and meaningful connections with others, laying the foundation for their emotional well-being and success in navigating the world's complexities. To summarize, our brains perceive events, experience emotions, and finally think rationally, which is important for understanding emotional intelligence. 7 ways for managing emotional responses are 1. Breathing. 2. Create an emotion versus reason list. 3. Self-talk. Make sure it's positive. 4. Rest is best. 5. Learn a valuable lesson. 6. Take care of yourself. And 7. Speak to someone when you need to. And the third competency is empathy, which is actively listening to understand your child's and other people's perspective better. This validates how they are feeling to build better relationships. As parents, we all aspire to raise successful, kind, empathetic, and morally grounded children. But in a rapidly changing world, how do we ensure that the values we instill in our youngsters stand the test of time? Join me next week as I explore values, those fundamental beliefs that shape our children's character, decisions, and interactions with the world around them. There is always time to rewrite your family story, break free from patterns that no longer serve you, and create a home filled with love, understanding, and unwavering support. I'm here to guide you every step of the way. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?